What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of From Broadway to Belmont. I am your host, Chris DeSalms, and with me, as always, is my wonderful co-host, Kevin Koff. Kevin, jump in, say hello.
What's up? Back again. Three weeks later.
Yes, sir. We're back.
Good to be back. I think we're both a little tired. Didn't re-prepare, but it's good to just chat. Good to see your face, Chris.
It is good to see your face again. We have not chatted since apparently the 24th August, which was
on the podcast at least.
Yeah, on the podcast. So we have not discussed a pod in almost a month. So
what's going on?
I am probably going to be very rusty. Probably not, though.
We both are.
Like riding a bike. Once you start doing it, you kind of like know how to do it. But like,
we kind of just talk to each other. Also, like, it's not like we.
We were complaining that we were in like the dog days of summer and nothing was going on. Like the last podcast, and since we've recorded, like that's legitimately been like the dog days. Like there was like those 3 weeks. I don't think anything has happened in the last 3 weeks. Like there have been a couple like extensions here and there. I didn't even put it in our notes, so it's like I can't even talk about it. I don't know
what happened. Yeah.
I know Stutzel got extended. I know
Kyrou
got extended today, or yesterday, whatever.
Yeah, I think it was today though. Timmy Stu's making more money than Kyrou. What a sham that is.
That's what you get for being a top three pick.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. But yeah.
The only things that have been going well in my life are my fantasy teams, my football fantasy teams. I want to know as well.
Yeah. I squeaked one out this week. It was close, but we did it.
I won pretty handedly in both leagues. I'm in a smaller, like, for fun league. So it's only like a 6-person league. So like every team is like stacked. But I'll read you my roster. So for this team, and then I'll go through my next one. So I got Patty Mahomes as my quarterback. Not a big deal. So in this draft, I had the second overall pick. The person who went above me took Josh Allen first overall.
I mean, that just invalidates the whole league.
they just wanted him, and I'm like, well, it's a 6-person league. He probably would have been there in like the 6th round.
That's so bad.
So I was gifted Jonathan Taylor with the second overall pick.
Pretty tame week.
I had pretty Mahomes, Taylor. Well, Taylor almost had 30 points, so he kind of showed out. I have Mahomes, Taylor, Nick Chubb, Devontae Adams, T. Higgins, who I think is hurt right now because he only got four points. So I got to switch him out. Mark Andrews. AJ Brown, the Bills defense, and the Denver kicker, and then on my bench, Breece Hall, Lamar Jackson, Jeremy Judy, who's this? Josh Jacobs, Dallas Goedert, Chase Edwards-Helaire, and then Amari Cooper. So I got a pretty stacked team there, but it's again also a 6-person league. So like every team is pretty stacked. But even in the competitive league I'm in, I played you'll know this. I played Sherry, crushed. And I shouldn't say crushed him. I won pretty handily though. He was up early, and then when Mahomes played, it was kind of game over. I ended up beating him 165.9 to 108 on that team. Again, Mahomes is my quarterback. Joe Mixon. I replaced Breece Hall with Chase Edmonds. I have Breece Hall in both leagues.
They did not fucking give the ball to Breece Hall. Oh my god!
It was a shame. I was expecting more from he was projected 11 points. He ended up getting 10. So like it was really like negative or anything. Devontae Adams in both leagues. Jeremy Jeudy in both leagues. Dallas Schultz. Elijah Moore, he didn't get the ball a lot. That's someone that did not get the ball a lot. Bills defense again in this league, and then the Bills kicker, Tyler Bass. So pretty good there. Bench right now is Breece Hall, Chase Claypool, Kenneth Gainwell, Tyler Higbee, Trevor Lawrence is my backup quarterback, Khalil Herbert, and then Julio Jones. I took Julio Jones with like my last pick. Because I wanted someone else, but they got selected. So everything I read said if he's left in your league in like the last round or so,
go for him.
Take a shot at him. You never know what's gonna happen. I mean, he had 11 points this week, so it's like not a bad week. You know, he's playing with Tom Brady, so it's like Tom Brady
exactly. Good. Even though they had a good week, but yeah, that's a solid team. That is a solid team. I
predicted to win both leagues, and in the fight out league, it's I think $20 ahead.
Hey, I still
pay, nice so payday. You know, it's a nice little payday.
Yeah,
and I don't have to go see a WNBA game by myself.
I got Stafford, Kupp, Ayuk, Marquise Brown, Zeke, who I'm hoping gets more touches now that Dak is hurt. Damon Pierce, everybody's like, well, I'll take Damon Pierce. He's to steal the draft. Did nothing. Breece Hall, Mark Andrews, Miles Sanders, Pat Freiermuth, Isaiah McKenzie, Hardman on the Chiefs, Zay Jones, who had a good week. Didn't start him, though. Tannehill, Minnesota's kicker, and Tennessee's defense. So I feel like we both got pretty decent teams. I honestly regret taking Stafford, but...
I had a sneaky draft for the Fight Out League. Everyone was kind of like shooting the shit and talking shit to each other. And I was kind of – I would pop in and out of the call, but mostly was just sitting back in silence and just like queuing guys up, just taking them real quick. And I think it was Pooch. He like – I think I'm like eighth or ninth round. He's like, who's PP Poopoo? Because that's the name of my team.
Nice.
And I was like, oh, yeah, that's me. And he's like – he's like, you have to talk more because you're having a really good draft and I'm just noticing this now.
Real geez, moving silence like lasagna, man.
Pretty much.
Like a wise poet once said.
Yeah, so pretty.
It's the way to go.
Pretty happy in both leagues. Projected to win both leagues right now, like I said. So, yeah. And then I went 4-for-4 in my pick'em league. Had a good week in college, went 3-for-4. Had to sweat. I mean, I don't know if – did you watch any college football this weekend?
I watched some games, mostly the Alabama game.
So this pick'em league I'm in, you kind of have to like stay on top of all these games because it's basically you pick four teams, you're picking the spread, mm-hmm. And UAB was my only pick that lost in college. The other three, I didn't realize it at the time. I wasn't thinking about it when I picked two fucking West Coast teams. So the BYU game went until 2 a.m. And the Oregon State game also went until 2 a.m. Yes. Oregon State barely covered. I mean, Fresno State went up, and then Oregon State went down the field and scored with legit 3 seconds left to win that game. Covered, -1. That was a best bet win. And then BYU had the chance to win this game like four times. Their kicker sucked. I think between them and I think they played Baylor, both kickers, I think, missed 5 field goals or extra points combined. Oof. Like it was bad.
It was a lot of missed field goals in college and NFL this week. I don't know what was going on. Yeah, what was in the water, terrible. But don't even get me started.
But yeah, and then I had Memphis -6, and then so I went 3-for. I won 3 out of 4 games in college, and then I won 1 out of 4 games in the pros. Cause you want to hear a bad fucking beat? The Eagles -4. They were fucking winning that game by 17 points and ended up still winning by 3. I'm at fucking 4. Chiefs was my best bet. Thank God they were my best bet. They crushed. I saw that was the only game on the pro board where I was like, there is absolutely no way the Chiefs lose this game, especially like by more than 7.
It was definitely more
that's
than
exactly
that.
What happened. I mean, yeah. it was Patrick Mahomes pretty. It was the Patrick Mahomes show. I mean, yeah. I think he had like 900 yards that game. Patriots got crushed. That was a dumb pick by me. And then another dumb pick by me. The Packers. I shouldn't have went with Packers.
I don't think it was a dumb pick.
It's Aaron Rodgers. You know, it's Aaron Rodgers and Minnesota because Minnesota's mid. They're like just such an average team. And the Packers, I was getting them at 1.5. I'm like, there's no fucking way. Even if it's a tie game, like Packers have the ball.
Yeah,
Aaron Rodgers will get them into field goal position. And then I realized, wait, no, he won't because the Packers have
no receivers.
Yep. They have legit. John from ShopRite, who was bagging groceries at 9 a.m. as their receiver. So
tough scene.
I ended up with 6 points, 6 out of a possible 10.
That's solid.
Not terrible, but not what I wanted to be. I would have been happy with 7, but the Eagles folded and the Packers ran away.
Not bad. 6 out of 10 is that's a lot of picks. I mean, that's tough to do, especially with college.
So it's like you really have to like be on top of your shit and like
you're
sweating games out. I mean, like I was legit in a cold sweat watching BYU Oregon State. I couldn't get Oregon State, but I was watching BYU and they had a chance to win the game in regular time, missed a field goal, shanked it. Baylor had a chance to win, shanked the kick. And then BYU in overtime shanked the kick. So BYU gets the ball back, they score, and then I'm like, all right, well, Baylor has to score here or else the game's over. And they were on like the 5-yard line and BYU stopped them. And I was like, I should never be this uncomfortable watching this game. Nah. I know I'm not going to win the week, but it's like, I should never be this uncomfortable like to see if a bet clears. And it was tough. It was really tough.
Yeah. Betting, that's the way betting goes. I went 2 out of 3 this weekend on FanDuel, so I'll take it. Two parlays. Started with $20 in my account, up to 60 now. Can't complain.
There you go.
Lost one. Put down one for – the one that I lost was Titans -5.5, which I thought was a solid bet. Derrick Henry under 98 yards, which was the one that hit, ironically. And I put Saquon under 55 yards. And of all of them to not hit, it was the Saquon and the Titans. So – riddle me that one. But overall, good weekend.
Yeah, can't complain.
But yeah, other than that, we're just kind of waiting for preseason to come around. Starts next week. Not that it really means much, but I don't know. I don't know what to expect for this NHL season. I haven't really, I don't know about you. Really, after the draft, I feel like I was like, and free agency to an extent, I was like, really into it, and now I really just don't know what to expect. Like, I haven't done enough research into it to be like, oh, like, this is who I think is gonna make the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think we might have talked about this, we might not have, but I like, yeah, after the playoffs, and I guess this was like the first time for me back in the playoffs for a few years, so it was like the hype was definitely there. I was tuning into every Rangers game, I was tuning into most playoff games, like normal and stuff, and I was really enjoying it. And then when it ended, you know, I was kind of like, all right, I'm happy it was over because it just seemed like the season went on forever. And then what ended up happening was, you know, the draft and everything happened and free agency. And I kind of was still in it, was still like really amped up for it. But then as soon as like day 2 or 3, like free agency had went by, I was like, all right, I'm tapping out for now. I'm kind of done. There's not much news to talk about. We potted here and there, but and then
you know, nothing going on.
There's that like moment where I'm like, I'm really kind of missing the season. I think we talked about it last pod. I'm like, yeah, I'm ready for the season to start up again. I'm looking forward to it. But then it's like I hit that lull again where it's
just, my head's just not like in the game
forever.
I know,
and I'm just not in it right now. I'm
obviously gonna get excited, but I'm just like, yeah, it's just like. It feels like it's just like still so far away that I'm just like, yeah, but it's really only like 3 weeks away, 4 weeks away, right? So it's not too bad, but
yeah, season's right around the corner.
I think maybe once,
like a month, not even 3 weeks. I think 3 weeks from Thursday it starts.
Yeah, maybe preseason gets it a little bit going. I think the end of preseason, that's when it'll start to get going.
Yeah, so. Towards the end of preseason, especially like that last, I think it's second to last or last preseason game is when like you see like pretty much the final team.
Exactly.
Like, they're not super physical games, but it's like you kind of know like what's going to be going down. So
exactly.
I did get a little depressed though, like a day or two ago or earlier in the or late last week, because someone posted like a Panarin like clip or something, like, and they're like, so ready for 4 more years of this. And I was kind of like, oh my God, like there's only 4 more years. Like,
it's
4 years, but I'm like, it's gonna fly by. Like, I'm gonna blink. I'm saying, yeah, it's 4 years now. And then, like, I'm gonna blink and we're gonna be in year 4. And I'm like, oh God.
And we're gonna be almost
there. Still haven't won a cup. It's
as the Islanders raise their 4th banner in a row.
Jesus Christ. If the Islanders go on to win 4 by the end of Panarin's contract, I genuinely might off myself.
Or maybe more like Tampa, Colorado.
Already in the league, baby.
Yeah, time flies. I mean, there's just some contracts. It's just like, I remember I was like literally moving into my second house after college. So like after my college house that you and I both lived in at separate times, I moved to a house after that with my buddies, our buddies. And I remember Barzal signing his 3-year contract. And all of a sudden, now he's due for a new one. He can sign an extension. I'm like, wait, where does time go, man?
He's a UFA after this season, right?
He's an RFA, thankfully.
He's still RFA?
Thank God. Oh, my God. He would have been on the move by now if he was UFA.
I was going to say, if he was UFA this next summer, I'm like, he's definitely out of there.
I would just, that might be the end for me if Barzal was a UFA and walked on us to Seattle or Vancouver.
Yeah, I don't know what would happen, but I could definitely, like, if the Islanders had like another just kind of like flub of a season, he'd be midway through the season. I feel like he'd be like, I'm leaving. Like, I just want you guys to know, like, I am leaving. Like, don't write articles about how I could say, like, I am leaving.
Honestly, if he has a meh year this year, I'm going to say it. I'll entertain it. I'll entertain offers. I'll do it.
Wow.
I'm going to put the hot take out there.
In the middle of September.
I'm giving him the Dobson juju, but like, if he's got another 65 point year, I don't know how much more I can take of it. Give Nelson this top line center role. You could probably, I feel like it'd be a nice trade package, right? It's got to be somewhat decent.
You definitely, I mean,
it would have to be good.
You definitely get a pretty good trade package. I don't know what you get, but like, I definitely,
a first.
You definitely get a first.
A roster player.
Definitely a roster player. Probably not like a blue chip prospect, but definitely like a decent, like an prospect. A-level prospect.
And then maybe another piece or two. I guess it depends. I mean, then again, though, we're talking about a guy that's probably one of the most skilled players in the league as a 25-year-old RFA.
That's also true.
He's going to fetch it.
He has.
Yeah.
You probably get, if you trade for him and you trade him to like a good team, you probably get like a good, if you're the team that trades for him, you probably get like at least 8 years out of him before like you really consider like moving on.
I think it'd be a fat package.
5 years of him too.
Yeah, it'd be a fat package for sure.
Yeah, now I'm thinking about it, you probably do get a blue chip, but
I don't know. Yeah. It's a tough call, but I don't know. I'm hoping it doesn't come to it. Hope they have a good year. Depends on what Lambert's system is, I guess, right?
Definitely. I definitely think it really depends on like,
yeah,
what, like, how similar is his system to like the Trotz system? Like, I think that's like the most interesting thing.
Facts.
With this Islanders team is like, what is the system? Because like the players, we all know what the players are going to do. Been the same team for like the last 3 years. They haven't really made much change besides bringing like young guys up. So at this point, it's like, what's the system? Is it going to be that back-to-back ECF contending team with like a Trotz-ish system? Is it going to be something completely new? Like, is Lambert like, yeah, I was Trotz's guy, but like, I got my own ideas and I'm going to roll with that. But
it's supposed to be similar with a bit more offense, whatever the hell that means. I think that maybe it's like going to be a Trotz system, but if like a player were to, I don't want to say go out of line, but make some more liberties offensively, he wouldn't have to worry about getting benched, is my guess. Not have Trotz be like, oh, like, what are you doing? Like, got to play our game. I feel like Lambert would be like, okay, like, I don't know. I don't know the guys. But
you don't know your coach? Fuck.
I know. I met Barry Trotz once, so it's got to count for something. But not met Wayne Lambert. I don't know. I think there'd be some more.
Did you meet him when he was an Islanders coach or when he was with the Caps?
I did meet him as an Islanders coach. I had to shadow a reporter for one of my sports journalism classes. So I shadowed Andrew Gross. Great guy.
You were a little Jay? I've heard of him, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's a great guy. And I got to ask Barry a question. That's kind of sick. And then that was when I had the boot. So he asked me what happened with my boot.
If I'm remembering correctly, hold on. I'm going to pull up his Twitter profile. Because I'm pretty sure. Didn't Andrew Gross used to cover
the Devils?
Was it the Devils? I thought he covered the Rangers too.
He might have done a bit of Rangers, I think, but he was.
Because I thought he did cover the Rangers for like a year, maybe, when I first started watching.
Yeah, probably.
I could be. Yeah, no, here it is. Ex-Rangers and Devils reporter. Okay, so I'm not crazy. Yeah, I think like that first year I started watching, he covered the Rangers. And then like the next year was like, oh, I'm with the Islanders or something. Yeah.
He's been here for a couple years. No, I mean, he's really only been around since Staple moved to the Rangers, or maybe a bit before that. But what a guy. Such a nice guy. So chill. So down there. Very good at his job. So got
unlike Staple, that rat fuck.
Dude, I'm not going to get into it. I would take Staple over the guy Islanders got now. Hate to say it. He does not seem too popular on Islanders Twitter. I will say that. He's just very, he's very know-it-all. That's all I'll say.
Staple with the Rangers is like, and I've said it before, him and Larry just compete for like the clickbait king title. Because
I'll trade, man. We just can make a trade. With
clickbait shit out, and Larry is like, I'll one up it. And something that did happen, the Athletic fired like a shit ton of people within like the last
Yeah, I
like
mean, they,
2 weeks.
They said that they would never go to ads. The ad way is, I feel passionately about this because I was a journalism guy, but they're like, oh, ads will never be what we do. And now they're going to the ad model. And ironically, they're owned by a newspaper. So how about them, Apples?
Well, I've been hearing their subscriptions have been like going down.
They've been in the red since they started. Like, they're way in the red.
Yeah. Well, it was always like, I get the idea of like they got a lot of really great journalists to start to like hop on.
Yeah. There's a lot of hype.
There was a lot of hype. And yeah, the subscription model just doesn't really work, especially when you have competitors who are putting free articles out and then some that are behind a paywall, where all Athletic articles are behind a paywall. That just kind of like doesn't make sense. But if there was to be someone that covered the Rangers that I do like reading their articles, it would be Shayna Goldman, who I think is covering the Devils for the Athletic, and she's a Rangers fan. So nice. I think get the homer to cover the home team. And she's brutally honest too. Like, her free stuff that I read, it's she's like really honest, analytical, and isn't afraid to call people out and whatnot. So wow, we've already killed 20 minutes. What a show to begin with.
Yeah, I kind of expected this. You know, we're going without a plan. You know, if this gets 2 views, would not be surprised. That's okay. But yeah, the Athletic's got some. What was I going to say? Damn, it's got some problems though. I mean, I don't exactly. This was it. The article.
Should we put a bid in to buy the Athletic?
I'm down.
Can we? All right, let's start a GoFundMe to buy the Athletic. We'll put in a bid, pennies on the dollar, like pennies on the dollar, and see what happens.
Could you imagine?
And then we're gonna make it free.
Oh yeah, that's a good business model.
We're gonna make it free, and then but we're gonna sell like all the ads. Like, it's gonna be a giant ad. It'll be free, but there's gonna be not.
You're not even gonna be able to see the articles.
So you're gonna get the thing where it's like, please disable ad blocks on this website.
Just one giant ad, and then when you try to click the X on the ad, there's a fake X, and it takes you to the App Store.
No, we won't do that. There will just be like two banners of ads on the sides, ads in like the middle of the article, like breaks up mid sentence.
Dude, that's what used to happen on when I used to write consistently on WordPress. I'd have my site, but then they have the free WordPress ads. That's how they kind of get their thing going. And it'd be like the craziest stuff. It'd be like this is the leading cause of like heart attack. And it'd be like a foot that has like a compressed like leg. I'm like, what are we doing here? Like, I don't want to see this.
And WordPress is still around. And
exactly.
Kicking. I might be on to something.
But yeah, the Athletic, here I found it. I texted my dad about it because I was so furious. Corey Pronman, I don't know how he gets paid to write this stuff. he had a 2012 NHL redraft. When you put Adam Pellick, mind you, the 2012 draft is known for being absolutely terrible. Adam Pellick is 22nd, and Brady Shea was like 13th. I was like, are we for real? Like,
yeah, let me read this description.
Pellick stood out as a big, mobile, physical defenseman who can make a lot of stops and play tough minutes. The debate on his game was whether he had enough skill to play regular NHL minutes. Now, Pellick took some time, but he has developed into a top four defenseman. His pure puck moving ability will never get you excited, but he's proven that he's just good enough with his assets to help an NHL team. Oh my God.
All right, hold on. Now, I am not looking at the article that you're looking at, this redraft. I'm looking at the actual draft.
Okay.
Can I guess? I'm going to take a guess.
I got to find the article.
Was drafted when?
Tell me if you have it up. Shot. Yeah, it's going to take me a minute. I couldn't All find right, it. Fine. I couldn't find it the other day. I found a screenshot on Twitter, but I feel like I can find it now. Because I am curious. I do want to know.
All right, looking at this, I don't really
Griffin
know.
Griffin Reinhardt, first overall.
Yeah, the first 10 picks kind of suck. Okay, never mind. I know who probably goes first.
Damn, where is this thing? I wish I could find it. Let me just find a random 2012 NHL redraft, and we're just gonna rock with it.
Yeah, that's fine. Tell me when you got it. This is a great podcast.
NBC Sports. Yeah, I mean, this is what you live for.
This is what you get in the middle of fucking September.
All right, we're good.
Number one, Philip Forsberg.
No, incorrect.
Fuck. Do they have Thomas
Hurdle? Philip Forsberg went third in this one.
Thomas Hurdle.
Hurdle is at number. Whoa, where is Hurdle?
Oh, is at eight. Oh. I fucked up. Is it Vasilevsky went first?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough one to see because it's like if you sort by points, you're not going to see him. But yeah,
I'm just looking at the picks 1 through 30. I didn't scroll down far enough. I didn't. Yeah, so Vasilevsky probably went first. You're saying Forsberg went third?
Yeah, the second one's going to be tough. It's going to be real tough.
Second?
You might have to do some scrolling. I'll tell you that.
Oh, it's like a second round pick?
Maybe later.
Holy shit. Dude. All right, hold on. It was Jimmy Vesey.
Oh, of course. Rangers, PTO, legend.
This is interesting. This draft sucks, dude.
It's so bad.
This draft. Oh, Carlson.
No. Wait. Is that Eric Carlson's year, really?
Or John Carlson. Eric Carlson. Never mind.
The Carolina Eric Carlson.
I'm pretty sure the only difference is Eric, the legit Eric Carlson spells his name with a C. This one's a K. I should have fucking.
No, they're both K's.
Are they both K's? Okay, Eric, then they spell their names the exact same way.
It's like the Sebastian Aho debate, except they're from the
same. What the fuck, dude? I'm in round five of this draft.
Yeah, still... you're getting warmer.
Oh, God. Who could it
have? You're definitely looking right past him.
Who was it?
Connor Hellebuck, round five, number 130.
Two goalies back to back in a redraft.
Yeah, then has Forsberg.
You're not putting Forsberg above him or Hurdle. Come on.
I think I put Hurdle above Hellebuck.
I would too. I would go Vasilevsky, Forsberg, Hurdle.
Get this article though. I'm gonna read you picks. So four was Morgan Rielly to the Islanders. Let me read you picks 6 through 10, and then I'm gonna read you pick 5 after that.
Okay, so 6 through 10. All right, so 6 is Anaheim.
Slavin.
All right, whatever. We have
Teravainen. Hurdle.
Minnesota. Okay, Hurdle at 8.
Yep.
He's going to Pittsburgh. Okay.
Truba
stays at 9.
Yep.
Okay.
Dumba at 10.
Okay.
And then Pelech at 11. But number 5, Mr. Tom Wilson. Over Tomáš Hurdle.
That's one crazy, but two, if that were to have happened, I don't think Wilson would be in the league anymore. Really? I genuinely do not think he'd be in the league.
Why not?
Toronto, they would fucking laugh him out of the league. They would I feel like they would hate him because they're like, he doesn't play a traditional style of hockey.
I don't know. They like the grinding Canadian man. I don't know, man.
Yeah, they do, but he's kind of a scumbag, though.
Hey, you love to have him on your team.
I know. He's the player you love to have and you love to hate. Yep. Fuck it. Who cares? He's a loser.
Speaking of redrafts, I always wonder. So I think he was the right pick at the choice. And I still think that if I could go back in time, I'd probably pick him. But if I'm an outside fan like you, I think I might pick Victor Hedman over John Tavares first overall in 2009.
I probably do, yeah.
Victor Hedman's a dog. It wasn't the right pick for the Islanders at the time because they had so many defensive prospects, but if you go back in time,
I mean, like,
build my team around Hedman, man.
Yeah, he holds your defense down. No disparaging
to Tavares, obviously. Sorry to cut you off, but Hedman's
he's a snake. Hedman, you build your defense around. He is the anchor of your defense.
He still is 14 years later.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing. Yeah,
which I is mean, nuts. Like, 14 years, like, man.
And there's like never really been his production, like, has only gotten better. It hasn't really like slowed down, which is like
the crazy part. Did want to last year or 2 years ago. It's crazy. So, he's dog. Hate him.
Yeah. That Conn Smythe win. I still disagree with that, but
really, whatever. I think he deserved it. He was just so good.
I liked Point. I thought Point should have won.
He got the next year.
Yeah.
The only one that I saw that was a defenseman that I liked was like, damn, like, that was unreal. It was Duncan Keith in 2015. Oof. He was unbelievable, man. He deserved that all day.
Yeah. All right, so I mean, we do have some topics we can discuss.
Yeah,
so,
we can just do real quick.
Not really like a sneak peek or like our crazy prediction episode. It's just
something to talk about.
Just some fun stuff. So topics we have are what are our surprise teams of the year, or surprise team of the year, one team that we think is going to be better than most people have them pegged for.
Twice.
Who's the biggest disappointment? What team is gonna lay a fucking egg? Kevin just deleted whatever it was three.
It was surprise team of the year again.
All right. Okay, so we have surprise team of the year.
I don't know if there's anything else. We'll think of something after maybe.
Biggest disappointment. All right,
I took so surprise player off too, just because I can't think off the top of my head of a surprise player.
My surprise player probably would have been like, it's not really a surprise. He kind of had like an insane season last year, but I think the guy who just re-signed with St. Louis today, Jordan Kyrou, I think he would have had like an insane season this year, and he probably
that's a good one.
Like, he would have been the player everyone like. Not everyone is aware of, unless you really are like in the know, but he would have been the player. It's like, oh, like he's going to be like a game breaker. Not, I shouldn't say game breaker. He's going to be like an elite player.
That's a good one. Yeah. I think kind of Sider falls into that same one up in Detroit where it's Sider. I mean,
he's a dog. That
I think he finished his top 10 in Norris this year, man. He's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's really good. Yeah, I would even maybe argue top five. Depending on the season, but
it's just so tough because you have like Fox, Hedman, and Makar standing in your way. But
yeah, and Roman Josi, bro.
Oh damn, I totally forgot about Roman. You can't disparage Roman. Roman's a fantastic player, and he does nothing wrong. It's just
and he's a man rocket.
He's very handsome.
All right, so. So my surprise team of the year, I don't think this is necessarily like a big, big surprise, but I think this off, we'll do a couple teams. We'll go back and forth and we can discuss. But I think my, one of the surprise teams that I have this year that I think is going to be better, that they made a lot of great moves in the offseason. I think they had a really good draft. And you might know where I'm going with this.
I do, I think.
They're a Canadian team.
Oh, I don't.
The Ottawa Senators. I think they're going to be a lot better than people haven't pegged for. They got a really young core. They have a lot of good players. I think they might start off pretty rocky, but like midway through the season, I think might find some fluidity and mesh well together. I think with Jrue in that locker room, you know, Brady Kachuk is a fun That's guy. Big. You got Kirby Doc. You got
Kirby Doc's
the Brinkets there too. Timmy Stutz. So. They got a pretty good team. Their goaltending still sucks. I think that's probably the worst part about that team.
It could be worse.
It's not bad, not great though. But I think they're going to be a surprise team. I think they will be closer to a wild card spot than I think a lot of people will think they'll be.
Fair. I could see that. I had Buffalo kind of in the same vein. That was
my next fucking team.
I think that, you know, I think they gained a lot of momentum over the last half of that season. You know, Jack Eichel was gone. Clearly a cancer in the room. Alex Tuck's there. You know, they got Darlene who's making progress. Tage Thompson, you know.
He signed a big ticket.
Yeah, ridiculously big ticket. I mean, their goaltending's a little shaky, but, you know, when I look at their roster, and it's going to be the factor of why I picked my disappointment team in them. You know, I just feel like, I'm not trying to make a joke here. I just feel like they get some of their guys, they just got that dog in them. I mean, I think that they're going to grind it out. They're not going to make the playoffs, but I think they're going to be really pesky and win like.
They will be very pesky team. They're going to hang in a lot.
Exactly.
They're going to hang in way more games than you think they are. And that's going to end up happening. They lose those games, but they're going to hang in there. They're definitely going to be like, even if you got a one goal lead on them in the third, you're still nervous. Not out of the woods yet with them. Yeah.
Like 38-6. Like they're going to be like right there, but not there yet.
Another team that I think is going to be a surprise. I think they're going to take a step forward is a team that has been struggling the last few years, but made the playoffs this season and took a really good team to the brink of elimination. And it's none other than the LA Kings.
I think
they're going to be a surprise team too. I think they got a lot of guys. Some really good drafts. Byfield's probably going to have a big season. I think Turcotte's going to be playing this season. Their back end is still pretty good with Jrue Doughty, you know. I think we saw a lot of them in the playoffs and, you know, to take Edmonton, who a lot of people thought could really contend for a Stanley Cup, and they did.
Talking to OT in Game 7 almost. I mean, it was like a minute left that McDavid scored.
Yeah. McDavid had to go God mode to beat them.
Pretty much.
So I think they're another team that definitely takes a step forward and is a little more competitive than a lot of people will think they are.
Yeah, I think that's a great one. don't know who else I would have.
I wouldn't say the Canadians. I think they...
Absolutely not.
I think they're going to struggle. Detroit probably is another team. I don't think it's like a surprise. People I think they struggled. It, I think. Yeah. But like I think they're going to I think they're going to take a step forward. They already have been taking steps forward. I think they have a really good young core. The Iser plan is he's guiding the ship in the right direction. It's in full effect, and I think the league is in for a rude awakening when, you know, I think this is what you're three or two of Lucas Raymond.
Two.
He's going to have a big year. Sider's going to have a big year. You got good leadership in Dylan Larkin.
I got Perron now.
Perron. Who else? Do they? Tyler Bertuzzi's a dog.
Yep.
Good team there.
Yeah, they'll be good. Biggest disappointments. Okay. I have a few of these.
Oh, also, I got one more surprise team, kind of in the same vein as like Buffalo and who else? The Ottawa. I think the Blue Jackets will be pretty decent. I don't think they're going to be like great, but I think they'll win more games than I think people will project them to win.
I feel like people are going to be pretty high on them. I don't know. They got Johnny Hockey, so.
Yeah, but the rest of the team's kind of just, I don't know. Like,
I had them and Ottawa in my biggest disappointments. I think really? I don't know. Just Ottawa, just like, I look at their roster, I'm just like, it's just like, it's good, but I just don't know if they're going to gel enough and be ready enough to make like a playoff run. I don't know. I don't know if I'm convinced. And Columbus, like you said, the rest of their roster is like, it's all right. I mean, I don't know. It's Columbus, hey, yeah.
I'm a Yarmo guy. I got to represent.
We do love some Yarmo. But yeah, Ottawa, I don't know. It's just like, Cam Talbot goes down too. They got some problems. They're depth on defense outside of Thomas Chabot. Hot Sam Bacho doesn't really impress me. I mean, I don't know. Maybe their offense will pull them through, but I don't know if it's going to be enough. And then I think Dallas is going to disappoint too. I think Dallas is going to suck this year. And the Devils.
Yeah, they kind of already happened, like sucking. So I think they'll just continue to be bad. Every day that passes, the Tyler Seguin contract just looks worse and worse.
Talk about Seguin. How about Ben? I think 9.5.
They are a really old team.
They have a weird mix. Very old or very young.
The thing is, their owner is, I think, going to just get those young guys gone. I mean, like, did you see his comments were like...
It was crazy.
Young guys want to get paid, and it's like, yeah,
pushing out the older guys. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they should. You have good players. Ottinger is a legit like NHL goaltender.
Well, he just signed at least, but
and Robertson hasn't. Yeah, he's still unsigned. But like, where would you have like? Did you see his game last year? It's like, come on, dude. Like, just sign him. What are you waiting for? Like, you have a great player in front of you, and you're complaining that the old guys can't get a contract. It's like, yeah, that's kind of how, like,
yells at
that's kind of how, like, things work. Old guys get thrown out of the league when you get talented young guys on your team.
It seems like the NHL is also, like, I guess besides Dallas, is finally realizing that. Like, look at how many vets right now are squeezed out of a job. Phil Kessel signing for 1.5 mil. Even guys like Sonny Milano, like, they've been around a while, and they're just not finding a job in free agency. Like, these teams want to play their younger players. Like, it's just how it's trending, man.
They want to play their younger players, and you're kind of seeing like these. I think the guys who are staying in the league longer than like these guys who play a grittier style that can fill in that third or fourth line and maybe play a little bit more physical are the guys who are staying in the league longer than like former skill guys who like might not have their speed. Really?
I disagree. I don't know. I can see your point. I feel like that wears down your body. I don't know. I think it's pretty 50-50.
It does. Like, it is, but like, I'm just looking like from my perspective, I just see more guys who like the big take is like, oh, he's a real sandpaper finish guy. He's gonna finish his checks. And like, they're not going to provide much offense, and guys who might have lost their hands or might have lost their speed. They'll make teams, but they have to fight a little harder to make these teams. I mean, Ryan Reeves was traded to the New York, had 1 year left, and then got re-signed. You know, and guys like Kessel struggled to get a contract.
So I guess it's easier. Yeah, no, you make a good point. I guess it's easier to input those guys on your fourth line. But say a guy that's more skilled who doesn't hit or play defense, You gonna put him on your fourth line?
No. So I think it's a, I think it's valid.
Yeah. All right. So you have Ottawa and
Dallas and
Columbus as
New
your
Jersey. New Jersey sucks.
They're not going to be the disappointment though, because I don't expect them.
No,
to
I'm
be
just
good.
Saying. Like, I just like to rag on New Jersey, even though
I mean they suck.
Even though they signed one of my favorite Islanders of all time today, or signed him to a PTO, Thomas Hickey, baby. I mean, the Short King himself, not to go on a tangent, but I tweeted it. The guy was one of the most clutch players in Islanders history. I'm going to say it. Scored an OT goal against Florida. Scored a goal against Washington to send us to the playoffs. Scored, I think, another OT goal against Pittsburgh. I mean, the guy just scored big goals throughout his whole career. It was kind of unbelievable how clutch he was. Played forward when he had to. I mean, I hope it works out for him. He's such a nice guy. He had so many concussions in the AHL the last few years. His brother passed away, so he's had a tough go. So I hope that he does well in New Jersey, but that was nice. All right.
I have two scorching hot big disappointment teams takes. I think first, and this is probably a little bit more on the safer side, they're a good team. But I think Florida.
I was going to say Florida.
Team.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I think, I mean, we saw it in the playoffs this year. They just did not have what it took to go long term.
No.
To make a long run.
And that trade they made, I mean.
Yeah. Tampa did easy work of them in the second round. So Florida is going to be a big disappointing team, and a little bit more of a hotter take than that, I guess, is, I don't know. I don't think Boston will be as good as projected.
It's tough. It's tough.
They'll be good. I just think they'll be way more disappointing than I think beat reporters and NHL analysts will.
It's a tough one.
Give them credit for. I think, but here's the thing. Boston, yeah, they're still a good team. I'm not going to deny them that. They are still a pretty good team. But I think beat reporters and the analysts are still going to like give them a tug job and be like, this team, they could still compete. I'm like, yeah, they probably can, but they're a first round exit. Like, let's not convince ourselves that they're more than that. I genuinely
don't know.
If they're a wild card team and they play a team like New York, Pittsburgh, or the Islanders, I don't see them getting out of the first round.
It's fair.
They could play the Caps, and that's maybe their ticket to getting into the second round. Okay, but if they make the playoffs in their division, you have to either play Toronto or Tampa first.
I think the biggest X factor with that is the biggest reason they sucked last year, or not sucked, but struggled last year, was number one, injuries, which is still a problem, but David Krejci wasn't there, and now he's back. So I think it depends on how much his game has fallen off. Like, is he still the David Krejci of 2 years ago? Did he lose some habits in the Czech league? I mean, is he older? This guy's almost 40 years old. So it's like, if he can step in and be that 2C for them, I think they're going to be a good team. If not, if he slows down, then they have just a major hole in the middle of their lineup, which I'm just not convinced about.
I think he's been signed, I think, for a few weeks at this point. And I think Chicklets put an episode out like right after he'd signed. And I think like Whitney was saying, you know, I'm not even really like a Bruins fan anymore. Mm-hmm. But he's like, if I'm a fan of the Bruins, like a diehard fan, like RA and Grinelli are, he's like, re-signing Krejci is like a heartwarming moment. Cause it's like, oh, we got our guy back, but it's not like we got a really good player again. Like, it's kind of like, yeah, we got an older Krejci. Like, that's not.
Depends how he does, I guess.
It doesn't move the needle as much as, like.
Oh, it doesn't make them a Stanley Cup contender. No, of course not. But I don't know. We always rag on Boston, Washington, and Pittsburgh, mostly Pittsburgh.
I'm not saying that this year. I'm gonna leave them out of my mouth and watch them demise that and watch their demise that way.
They're always sneakily good.
Pittsburgh's gonna be really good this year. I'm rooting for those guys. Crosby's gonna have a heart season. Malkin's gonna win the Selke. We're good. You know, they're gonna be a great team. Love those guys. Tristan Jari's gonna win the Vezina. They're gonna be a great team. I'm sad to see Evan Rodriguez leave that team.
The rat. He's in Colorado. He's going to be a 20 coal power play merchant over there. Come on.
It's disgusting how much I have to fucking hate Colorado now. It's disgusting.
Who's the other one you hated? I can't remember who the rat was. It's Rodriguez and somebody else on Pittsburgh. Hornquist, maybe, but everybody hates Hornquist.
Hornquist, yeah, I'm not a fan of. Letang's a fucking rat.
Letang's a bum.
Who else was it? It was definitely right. Oh, that fucking scumbag, Jake Guentzel. Fuck that guy. I hate him. I despise him. He's someone in the I cannot wait till Jake Guentzel's not in this league anymore.
Oh my god.
What a rat.
Lord help us.
Yeah, I think you were texting me like players on other teams that are really good that we admire. I tried thinking about it, couldn't think of anyone. The only thing I could think of is like, who are guys on teams that I hate? And immediately I was like, Evan Rodriguez and Jake Guentzel. I wish nothing but just bad seasons for them.
Yeah, it's tough to pick players on other teams that you really like. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm like, because I watch a lot of hockey and I'm like, I like a lot of guys, but like, there's no guys like right now that I'm like, I could think of that like stick out to me that I'm like, I really love rooting for that guy.
Just Eric Carlson.
Everyone roots like Cale Makar. Everyone roots for Cale Makar. It's like McDavid. Everyone roots for McDavid. It's like, I'm trying to think of guys who are like players that, you know, some obviously people who root for the team root for, but like is just a fan favorite of yours. And I couldn't do it, but I could definitely tell you players I hate.
I hear you.
Who else? Hold on. I want one more team.
Another disappointment.
Yeah, I kind of have two that I'm thinking about.
Hold on. Let me find one. Let's each pick one that we haven't said before, and let's try to say it at the same time. Let's see if we can.
I don't. Okay, now I got three teams. I'm gonna go no for that one. All right, I'm down to two.
This is tough.
I think I have my one. All right.
Hold on. This is so tough. I don't really think anybody here that we haven't. All right. I got it. 3, 2, 1. Minnesota.
Nashville.
Oh, we were close.
I was thinking Minnesota. They were one of my three teams, man. I'm like, they're going to be decent. Like, I don't know. Like, they're all right. They're good enough. Yeah, they're just gonna be all right. They're not a disappointment for me. Like no. Nashville, but my last two was Nashville and Vegas. I'm like one of those.
Teams I thought about Vegas too. I think Vegas bounces back, but I don't
know. That's my thing. I was like, as much as a disappointment as I think they might be, I'm like, I could also see a world where it's like they have a really good. They have a healthy Jack Eichel, a healthy Mark Stone.
Facts. But no goalie.
Yeah, isn't Leonard hurt still?
He's basically out the whole year.
Brousseau is their backup.
It's going to be Logan Thompson's the guy, and then Brousseau is the backup.
Their goaltending's shaky, but I think they don't have
Nick Hague signed. I don't know. I'm supposed to. Have you been in that arena? I'm supposed to go when I'm in Vegas to see a preseason game. So I'm kind of curious to check it out.
Remember, I did a whole review.
That's right. Yeah. I've been doing this for like 3 years, man.
I went earlier in the year. I had a really
That's right. Yeah, who's your sleeper? Very
gimmicky.
Who played again? I can't remember.
I saw Vegas against Pittsburgh.
That's right. Yeah. Now it all.
Vegas blew a 3-0 lead.
All clicks together. Yeah, I'm curious to see that arena. It sounds interesting.
It's a dope arena. It's like I said, very gimmicky, very Vegas.
Well,
like,
that's
it,
Vegas.
It works there. If it was anywhere else, you'd be like, this is the corniest thing in the entire world. But like it was a Monday night game.
That's what we're doing.
Martin Luther King weekend.
Yeah, Monday that's night right. game. Yeah, yeah.
Sold out. Like every seat was taken. So I mean they pull a really good crowd. Vegas loves hockey because it's like that's their team. Like that was their first like team. So
it's not like the Raiders, you know. It's like
the whole. But even the Raiders, I heard the Raiders pull like.
Oh yeah, but fans. It's not like they. I feel like
no. Yeah, I get the point that you're making. Like these are like legit like day one fan. Like they have a really good like crowd.
Yeah.
Their fan base is a little like annoying, but
what if they until they turn bad, until the players stop coming, when people realize then they're bad and the fans go away? And
I don't know if the fans will go away. It's just more so. I think the fans. I think that because I thought the same thing. Like, oh, what's going to happen when? And my uncle said the same thing. He's like, what's going to happen when this team's not good anymore?
Uh-huh.
And I don't think the fans not showing up will be the issue. I think the biggest issue is like their management. I just think that's what's gonna That's what the fans are going to turn. The fans are not going to turn on the team. They're going to turn on management. They're going to be like, we need to get rid of all of our, because the way they operate right now, it's like, as soon as you are not profitable for us anymore,
or we don't want you,
like, we want to move some cap space to sign someone who's worth $4 million more than you, like, you're out of here.
Look at Pacioretty. Case in point.
Yeah. They lost him. That's a big loss for them.
They didn't have the money.
I still cannot to this day believe what they did to Marc-Andre Fleury.
Sword in the back.
That was their guy. The second sword in the back. I still have that picture saved on my phone. That's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
I can't believe they chose Leonard, man. After all Fleury did for the city and just like how much he embraced them and he was their franchise player.
The one sword was hilarious enough. The second one's even funnier.
Kyle Walsh is such a maniac.
I love him. I love him. I want someone to hate me as much as Alan Walsh hates Gary Bettman. That's the hate I aspire to have. Like, because he truly like despises Gary Bettman, and I can understand why. Unrelated to hockey, did you watch the what's the guy's name? NBA referee got caught for cheating and gambling.
I did not see that.
Tim Donahue.
I saw the preview. I do want to watch it. Yeah.
It's really good. It's only like an hour 20. It's really easy watch, super fun. The one thing that I walked away with, and it's kind of like a Twitter joke, but I knew about the Twitter joke prior to starting it, but it really makes sense, and it's a shame that he's dead, because I think in his old age he probably would have been able to, maybe like if dementia kicked in, he would have said that he did fuck the league over, or not really fuck the league over, but David Stern was God. And if you watch the doc, you'll understand, like, he definitely did a lot of shady shit, and I think kept a lot of things under wraps when they should not have been, and that league was very corrupt under David Stern.
The Pistons should have won that championship, man. Everybody knows it.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like, spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't watched it. The whole they were in court with Donahue and a couple other guys that were involved in the thing, and I don't think they went to court. They didn't want it to go to court. They eventually like settled. And then right before like the settlements, though, they signed like millions of dollars worth of like a 9-year TV deal. And then like everything, they were just like, they didn't go to court.
It's funny how it works.
Yeah. Like the documentary does a better job explaining it. But I'm like, David Stern definitely was doing a lot of shady shit. And I think was very well aware that you can't gamble if you're a referee in that league.
Obviously. And
apparently all of them gamble, like, all the time.
Oh, jeez.
And Donahue kind of fucked up in the documentary, too, because they asked him at one point, they're like, did you make more money than you said you did? He said, I don't know, maybe. And then they asked him again. He goes, I don't remember saying that. And they're like, you did. So can we ask you again? He goes, yeah. Like, did you make more money than you said you did? He goes, no.
Yeah, he messed up like, that one.
When you see like what happened to him after, spoiler, yeah, he definitely made more money than he said he did.
No doubt.
Because it was all cash. He was getting cash.
Yeah, well, yeah, he can't have no paper trail.
Nope.
I'll have to watch it.
Yeah, it's really good. Did you see the Manti Te'o one?
Did not see that.
That's also a good one.
That's awesome. Deadspin. Clips. Yeah, Deadspin published
the article before the facts came out.
Yeah, it's always been fuck Deadspin, but I don't know how I don't know why or how anyone from Deadspin like would do. I don't know why anyone from Deadspin would have agreed to do that, because like the guys they had on don't look any better. Like if they were trying to clear their names, be like, we did nothing wrong. Doing that documentary only made two of the guys that they had on look 10 times worse. Like, you guys look horrific. Because they literally, like you said, they gave Manti Te'o an hour to return a call before they published an article that ruined his life.
Yeah, it's pretty messed
up. It cost him probably tens of millions of dollars.
Yep, pretty much. It's brutal, man.
Yeah, I like those Netflix Untold.
Yeah, nah, me too. I gotta watch them.
We got that good one last year with the Danbury Trashers. So
exactly, a classic.
Shout out Netflix. Are you watching any good TV shows right now?
Sorry, Black Sails. I don't know how I feel about it.
Sorry. I don't know what that is.
It's like some
pirate
like,
show?
Yeah, it's a pirate show. I like those history shows. So we'll I heard it's good, but we're like 3 episodes in, so we're just going to see. I don't watch too much TV. I don't know. Just play Xbox instead.
Yeah. What about I'm you? Trying to cut back my TV. Yeah. No, I'm not really watching a ton of TV. Rick and Morty just started, so I've been watching that.
Your favorite.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't really watch too much TV outside of that. A couple of shows that I was watching are over, like Only Murders in the Building ended.
So oh my God. I just started that with Lenny. Oh,
really good.
Damn, we're 2 episodes in. It's kind of fire. I can't believe I forgot about that.
It's really good.
It's also just like Steve Martin, fantastic.
Steve Martin and why am I forgetting his name right now?
Richard Short.
I think it's Martin Short.
Martin Short.
I didn't realize they've been friends for like over 30 years. Really? So like their chemistry, especially in the first season, it's great. Second season, it's better. The only thing I have to say about the second season is that there are a couple cameos that are just kind of like unnecessary.
Oh, jeez.
Case in point, Amy Schumer sucks, and there's no reason for her to be in the show.
That sucks.
But at first, I thought they kind of rushed the second season in terms of like when it came out, because I feel like there wasn't enough time between like the first and second season. But it ended up being pretty good. And it was definitely like a bigger spoiler than I thought. It definitely was like a bigger like, whoa, didn't see that coming than
I'm excited, thought it was man.
For the second season.
Who got then, your phone?
Obviously, there's going to be a third. There's obviously going to be a third season. Yeah. They foreshadowed what it's going to be about. And definitely.
It's a good show. It's a good show.
Very good show. Very good show. Yeah. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I forgot I was watching that one. And just finishing watching MasterChef. Season finale tomorrow. Love to see it.
There you go. I'm going to restart Peaky Blinders because...
I thought about watching that.
I'm going to restart it because I watched the first 4 seasons when season 4 came out. I watched the first 3 and then watched 4. Didn't watch 5. Didn't watch 6. And
you gotta re-antiquate yourself with it.
Yeah, it's been too long. This is how long ago I watched it. So my senior year of college was the last time I saw Peaky Blinders. Yeah, it's been a few years. So
4, 3, 4. I'm almost 3 years out at this point. That's nuts.
Yeah. So it's definitely like 3 or 4 years since I've watched it.
Yeah,
I think I watched it in the fall of my senior year, so it's been like 4 years.
Kind
of
got to restart that point. Did you watch Game of Thrones?
I did watch Game of Thrones.
You watched the new one?
I did. I have not.
I'm not either. I'm kind of over it.
I don't know if I am. Everyone's telling I should because they said it's nothing like Game of Thrones. Everyone's saying it's good, but I'm like, I don't know. I have trust issues.
I feel like I just made my peace with that show, with the ending, and I'm done. I moved on in my life.
Apparently, it's nothing like Game of Thrones.
Well, then why am I watching it?
Or, like, nothing like, like it is Game of Thrones, but it's not like the ending that last season.
If they just didn't rush it, nothing would have. There would still be Game of Thrones conventions going on right now if they didn't rush that damn ending. Morons.
We would be finishing up season 10 if they didn't rush the ending and they did it properly.
It's a tough scene.
But that's it. No more ramblings. We're about at an hour. So
yeah, just wrap it up.
All right. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you want to subscribe. Stitcher, Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts.
Stitcher.
You know the fucking vibes. Make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at From Broad to Bell. Tweet us this season or don't, whatever. You guys aren't going to, so it doesn't even fucking matter.
I got nothing else.
Yeah, I got nothing else. Kevin, anything else?
No, sir.
All right, we'll see you guys whenever we see you. I don't think we're going to record next week, but
the
week
after that, I'm in Vegas anyway, so I'm out.
There you go. Episode in 2 weeks, and then maybe if something crazy happens, I'll do a solo pod. Or,
oh, there you go.
I don't fucking know. We'll be back when we're back. We'll see you guys whenever. Peace.